This is the podcast for passionate, sex positive, and pervy people. Entertaining and informative discussions about the latest in sex and sexuality. From ethical non-monogamy to kink to dating and romance and everything in between. She is legendary syndicated talk show host and sex therapist Sue McGarvey. He is notoriously naughty international radio host John the Milkman Milky. This is Turned On with Sue and John.
Hello, Sue McGarvey.
Hey, baby. How are you?
How can I be anything other than awesome? Another great weekend with you and your fun friends at your naughty Christmas craft show and kinky garage sale.
Yep, you got it. It was epic. It was, you know, it was interesting because it wasn't quite as many people as we had last year. Last year we couldn't move, but this year we're using two levels. It was pretty busy. Two levels, burlesque show, Bad Santa, you know, Graham's epic soup. You know, everybody's fed and loved and connected. It's great.
There may be pictures of me surrounded by the burlesque team, by the way. Gosh, that was a difficult day at the office. I hated every minute of it.
Oh, yeah. They're falling out of their bras and the pasties are flipping off in front of you. Yeah, it was a hard day for you, for sure.
There was one in particular. I don't even know her name. I know her burlesque name. The excitement in her face and the tone in her voice as she smacked Santa on the butt with that riding crop. Hot. Just saying. All right. Coming up on the show today.
This weekend, you're on again. Just reminding everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You're at the 70s Christmas party.
Yeah.
I'm expecting the big afro at the Playboy Mansion. It's going to be great. It's got a grotto. It's got corners. It's got shag carpeting. You got to come.
Do I put my keys in a little bowl at the front door?
I will not talk about that, but I think that there are certainly some implied corners for sure.
Okay. All right. Well, they know where to find me. I will be in the DJ booth spinning away. All right. On this episode of Turned On with Sue and John, fictophilia. We're going to find out what that is. Sue will fill us in just a bit. You have a question, Sue, about boundaries as it pertains to the lifestyle.
Yep, yep, yep.
Why is he so focused on my orgasm? ... Hint, it's not for your pleasure. By the way, these are Sue's notes to me, so I know where we're going on the podcast. Sex tips from the experts, things you wish people had told you, and a subcategory to that, some sex tips specific to men. You have another question, how to get past an affair. Oh, boy, that's heavy. And not Florida man this time around, but Hawaiian man. Are you set, listener? It's time to get turned on.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Fictophilia. No idea, Sue. Tell us about fictophilia.
It is when you are in love with a fictional character. You know, if you think the Dark Knight is your boy, and you know in your head that this is not a real thing, that, you know, there's, yeah, it's not a thing. But what happens, you know, there's no Bruce Wayne going to come around the corner. However, you have this yearning for them so deeply, you fall in love anyway, right? Whether it's, as I said, whether it's Batman, Spider-Man, I had a bunch of women I knew. It was Jamie from Outlander. Right. The Scottish, the kilts. I know. Well, he was this Scotsman in the, you know, and they all thought, oh, this man, he's so hot. And I had, there's a study done in 2021 that says that there's a number of people that prefer fictional characters to real ones. These are the people who are gaming parasocial romantic relationships where you really are connecting. I had a client who was a gamer back, you know, when I was, you know, early days of a therapist who was in love with Laura Croft.
Oh, boy.
You know, and when Angelina Jolie, he started writing her, you know, because she's the body that didn't quit. I know. So we had to do some work around that. But it was understanding that these characters were a source of social support. And that's the fantasy. And it becomes sometimes more than the fantasy. So you want to, you know, dress up like Laura Croft and put the, you know, put the padded bra on and the long dark hair. That's fun. If you need it every time you have sex, that starts to get daunting because you're not having sex with a real person. I had one client say that sex for him was like masturbation, but sometimes there was a woman in the near vicinity. And I'm like, oh, okay, what about her needs? We're going to talk about that later in the show, but right. OMG, come on, dude. It is a dance. And if you want to masturbate with thoughts of Lara Croft or Batman or, you know, Jamie from Outlander, you know, fill your boots. But it doesn't lend itself to a real relationship. And it's because we're social creatures, it starts to limit how you're going to connect.
So that's a world I'm not terribly into, the whole, you know, comic world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, I think even anyone who's spent any amount of time on Pornhub, every now and then an ad pops up and it's animated porn. And let's throw hentai into that as well. Mm. Does that become part of this escapism, this fantasy that people are living as it pertains to fictophilia?
It's certainly, it's not as much to come up in my, you know, and certainly my work as a sex therapist. I think it's hot. Like, I think, you know, occasionally if I'm watching porn, I think that's fun. It's like some troll and some elf getting it on and they can just exaggerate it and yeah. It's fun and funny. And, you know, we were at a burlesque show last weekend, really great. Costume Cream killed it again. And what it was sort of, you know, it was basically, you know, vaudeville. It was funny. It was a spoof. It wasn't overly sexy. Everybody was super playful and almost comical. And that's what this porn sometimes, or at least the animated porn, seems to me.
Okay.
Versus this, which is a deep longing. You know, I have some favorite books and some favorite characters. And you think, you know, I remember when True Blood came on, I'm thinking, oh, MFG, I am totally up for those bad werewolves. Let me tell you, but it doesn't mean that it replaces any real relationship in my life. You can find the actor hot and you can find the character smoking hot. But it's when it starts to cross into real life.
Right.
That's what happens. And whether it's a furry, you know, you go to those furry conventions. I know a couple of people, and not professionally, but I know them socially, who really like dressing up as animals, really yep. like having sex in their furry costumes. Yep. And I'm like, that's fabric, whatever, fill your boots.
Right.
Wouldn't turn me on, but that's okay because there are lots of things that don't turn me on and lots of things that do. And it's not, and the thing about sex that's so interesting is that there is no one size fits all.
Fictophilia. With Sue McGarvey, John Milkey, it is Turned On with Sue and John.
Turned On with Sue and John. Online at turnedonpodcast.com.
We mentioned a few minutes ago, Sue had her annual Naughty Christmas Sale and Kinky Garage Sale. I was part of it, broadcasting live. But at that event, you were asked a question by someone as it pertains to the lifestyle and boundaries. Yeah,
it's a positive, you know, event for anybody. You can go with, you know, just wander around. I had people there with their moms, but I also had the kinky community and some of the swinger community. And somebody pulled aside and said, "Sue, look, I'm going to Desire, you know, in December because I'm going to do a crazy weekend with my partner." And I'm struggling with boundaries. She said, one of the reasons we go and do lifestyle travel is that I don't have a problem with him playing with other people, but my caveat is they have to be swingers. They can't just be, you know, somebody he knows from work or somebody he finds off Tinder or anything like that. They have to know the score. And even if he says that we're in an open relationship, people in the lifestyle get it. They get that this is just recreational sex. This is play, grown up, you know, sex is adult play. This is just grown up recreation. You go together, you play, you leave together.
Yep.
That's it. It's not an emotional thing. I always want to be friends with anybody, whatever the saga is. And for a lot of people, that's kind of the duckling thing is, you know, you can be flirty and in the middle and it's kind of friendly and sassy, but it's not crossing the line. And she said, "I come to duck events, but we're going to do this. Is that wrong?" And I'm like, "Well, you're going to Desire where everybody's there to play, so you'll be fine."
Yeah.
But don't, you know, but he's saying there's a couple of single women he's interested in. And I'm like, that's a pretty clear boundary. Like, if he's pushing against it, you guys need to sit down and say, you know, no, number one. Number two is I am letting you play. Smack him on the back of the head. I am a goddess and you need to worship the ground I'm walking on.
I'm giving you an inch. Do not take the mile.
It's less than 10% of the female population. So what the fuck, buddy? And number three is it's okay to have rules. I know people who have rules about, you know, we're not having sex in our own bed with somebody else. You're not. I know one couple that only had it three times with one particular couple because they didn't want to fall in love. I thought, oh my God, that's exhausting because it's how much time do you spend finding the right partner? And then you, after three times, you're, you know, three up and three down and you're end of an inning. No. I think that understanding that this is your boundary and you want to make sure that whoever your partner's with gets it. I said, no issues. So yes. So Kay, who came to see me and pulled me aside and I'm like, I hope you have a fantastic time. You know, what works in the lifestyle is you can talk about it a few hundred thousand times and you sit down after every encounter and go, does this work for us? Does this not work for us? This is okay. This not okay. And that's perfectly fine.
I am 100% in agreement. And every single couple I know in the lifestyle, they have their own sets of boundaries. Everything has been negotiated and there's a conversation before you go to a party or before you swing with a couple or whatever your dynamic is. And then there's a conversation afterwards. And this is always evolving. But I can tell you, because I've been there and I've done that, when you're playing with people from outside the lifestyle who you think get it, they don't. And it creates a pile of problems that I promise you don't blankety blank need. Get your lawyer ready because it can go off the rails real fast. Stick to your guns. Okay. Have a good time.
Stick to your guns. And it's not scary. There's lots of people out there who get it and are like-minded.
I don't want to scare anybody, but just yes, you stay within the lifestyle. Stay with people that you have confidence. They know what this is. They're into it too. Because when you're bringing people in from the outside who think they know what it is, you know, like in the BDSM world, I read 50 Shades of Grey, therefore I know everything about kink. No, you don't. No,
not even close.
No, yeah. you read the intro to BDSM.
No, you read the preface to the intro.
Yes. That's a better way to put it. Yes.
Yes. All right. So we're doing that. There's lots of ways you can do that. You can stick with us. You know, certainly welcome to come to a duckling event. We are theducklings.com and you read about it. Or, you know, send us more questions. We'll happily give you free sex therapy. Turned on with Sue and Sean. It's all we're all about.
And your questions to Sue@sexwithsue.com.
Warm tropical breezes, magical nights, swimming topless in your own swim up pool room. You've heard about it. You've thought about it. Now it's time to dip a toe into the truly sultry, sensuous, sexy experience that is Temptations Resorts. It's astounding. Adult only, topless. It's a magical place in the brand new resort in the Dominican Republic near Punta Cana. And I have a special deal. Put in 24 with Sue and get free ground transportation to and from the airport both ways and an incredible price just for listeners.
Go to temptation-experience.com.
Check on Temptations Mishis. Put in the 24 with Sue code and your dates and you're away. You'll be transported to someplace truly magical. That's temptation-experience.com and 24 with Sue. It's time.
This is part 1A, because there's a part B to this. So let's begin here. Sex tips from the experts. These are things that you wish people had told you, Sue.
Yeah, there's a whole list of different kinds of activities. And you don't want and somebody asked me, I did an interview with Yahoo Canada, you know, last week, and I was on CBC on Friday. And, you know, they all ask, you know, what's the new thing? Everybody wants to know the new thing. And it's hard to have a new thing because, you know, we don't have any new body parts and there is a lot of new things. However, there are some stuff that I think people should know. And number one is it's okay to say no to things, right? There's a lot of people who think, oh, I can do it all. And no, you know, you may try stuff once and go, that's not for me, and be okay with saying no. And if you're pressured to say, you know, even in a long-term relationship, it's time to pull on your, you know, big girl, big boy pants and say nine. You know, it's understand.
May I ask, because that's the second week in a row you've used nine. Why do you default to the German for no?
I don't know. Maybe because I'm watching too much, you know, German sex things.
Ah, there it is. All right.
I know. So one of the new tips is about THC. You know, it always was, if you wanted to get women in the mood, it was, you know, red wine and dark chocolate.
Right.
But 5 milligrams, choose a strain between 15 and 20% THC. Any more heightens anxiety and ruins the experience, but as patients benefit from 5 milligrams to 20 milligrams, 20 milligrams puts me to sleep, but 5 milligrams feels like 3 glasses of wine without the calories and without the headache or the problems. And for a lot of people, that really helps, especially for women who have, you know, a little bit of pain or anxious about sex. It's been a deal breaker for a lot of people. Understanding boundaries, kinks, desires, right? This professional doms and who's a fetish wrestler. I saw an interview with her recently, Lola Jean. And she said, you need to come up with, again, goes back to our fictophilia. You need to come up with a character you can play. Because, you know, sometimes you're a dominant personality in the bedroom, but you're not in real life.
Right.
Absolutely. And I think that was, you know, again, it's a good reminder. Get in a sexy mindset, you know, make sure you're in something that you feel attractive in. That was interesting that you said that about the burlesque girls on the weekend. You know, there was body positivity. They were all shapes and sizes.
Yep.
And they were all falling out of their basically little bra with, they're all in Santa outfits and got down to the pasties. I don't know if you saw the one whose pasty fell off.
No.
And then she looked down and ripped the other one off. And then somebody handed them to her so she could put them back on. Oh,
nope,
yeah.
Nope, missed that.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Everything so I saw was above board, I swear to you.
Uh-huh. Well, it's understanding that they felt sexy and beautiful.
They were sexy and beautiful, absolutely.
They were sexy and beautiful, all of them.
I already told you, I got a little crush on one in particular, but I digress.
Yeah, them and their whole squad can come visit you. I get it.
Anytime.
I've talked about this before, because I've interviewed one of the famous madams in Paris, and she talked about warm oil, which was, I learned that in my early 30s, and I have used it ever since, and everybody's like, oh my God, Sue, the microwaved warm oil. I think that's a huge tip, and people go, oh, I know, I get the drop sheets from the dollar store and the oil, and oh, I think that's just the idea. The other thing I tell people is, you know, to have an understanding about why you're hooking up. You know, for a lot of people, it's because, you know, it's the time of month and they need to get their oil changed and they're feeling full and they just want to get laid. And sure. So I say to them, come up with a mantra. Says, I know this might just be a one-time thing and there's a chance that he or she are only being charming and sweet so they can get laid. So no expectations of texting, calling, wanting to see you again. And I'm accepting that this experience I choose to have in my life, and I'm okay with whatever comes after. And not to have, because expectations can kill, you know, a sexual experience.
Yes.
And if you're just saying that, understand that that happens. The last thing is if you're not getting turned on the way you were, understand that that changes in your body and do some work around it. As I've been mentioning, I love that VitaFlow, and I know I've been on and on about it, but I cannot believe, like, whenever I have something new, I'm like, gotta try the VitaFlow. It's a Promiscent product. I really like it. But it's understanding that you have a variety of, and you have a responsibility to do the best you can, because sex isn't just something, it's a huge part of your identity as a human being. So run with it.
There you go. From the experts, things you wish people had told you. Up next, more of the same, but specific to men.
More of Turned On with Sue and John coming up.
More sex tips, this time around, though, specific to men.
Yeah, there's, you know, this, we talked about expectations in the last time and that people have to manage their expectations. And I think for women, certainly around dating, they've got this, you know, I expect him to be this and this and this and this, and he shows up in a shirt from the 80s. Doesn't mean you toss him out with the bathwater. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. He, you know, he just may need some fashion advice. It doesn't mean that you get to throw him out.
And are you looking at me in my 1980s circa Fender t-shirt?
The Fender shirt is cool. Come on. 80s rock concert t-shirts are great. But this is, you know, some interesting ideas about different kinds of people And I sent it to you because I said we were in the wrong business. He was a men's sex coach and he was getting like $3,000 an hour. And as good as you and I are, and we are great, you know, we're I don't think my hourly rate, I don't think my lawyer's hourly rate is that. Anyway, it talks about, he's saying that a female sex coach taught him that turning his attention to how each individual partner likes to receive pleasure was better than just being, you know, damn good in bed and thinking that you were the rock star. And I would go one step further. I think pleasure mapping, and I used to do it with new partners, is going, okay, I'm going to touch you here between one and three. One is like you touching your arm, and three is like holy Batman. So where are you when we're talking about the whole area? Where is it that, you know, because some people, especially women, find the whole vulva really sensitive, and clitoris is almost painful because it's so sensitive.
Yeah.
Other people like the inner lips being pulled. Like it depends on what they like. So a lot of people, if you've done that, most lovers, if you just do that, most new lovers will say, I have never been touched like this before. Thank you so much for asking. Holy smokes. That's really neat. If you could do that one thing, makes you a better lover, right? The other idea is that you really want to touch yourself. So this guy's, because this is his job, spends, you know, 20 minute sessions a week, you know, scratching himself and touching different parts of his body to see the kind of sensations that he likes. And okay, you know, I think that's important because if you can't play with your own equipment, it's hard to play with somebody else's. But to really know that the body is an erogenous zone, and the more pleasure mapping you can ask, the more likely you are to be a rock star between the sheets.
It's amazing on this podcast and these conversations we have, how often it boils down to communication, either with yourself or with the ones you're with. It is Turned On with Sue and John. We're online at turnedonpodcast.com.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Guys, let's talk girth enhancement and penis enlargement. Introducing Fallowfill, the non-surgical penile treatment.
My name is William Moore, and I developed the Fallowfill male enhancement procedure, and I have pioneered the use of hyaluronic acid dermal fillers for penile girth enhancement. Fallowfill is the first non-surgical procedure to be recognized by the American Urological Association and the North America Sexual Medicine Society. Our procedure is safe, 100% reversible, and offers a true, undetectable, reliable, aesthetically pleasing result.
Fallowfill has treatment locations across the continental USA and in Montreal.
We increase girth in both the flaccid and the erect state, which will help you show better and perform better. The procedure is performed in office under local anesthesia and is about 20 minutes.
Read more online at fallowfill.com. That's PHALLOFILL.com.
If you are suffering from social and psychological effects of having the perception of a small penis, we are here to help you.
Tell them you heard this ad on Turned On with Sue and John, and receive a free counseling session with Sue McGarvey on what to expect and how to improve your performance with a new, thicker, larger penis. Fallowfill, the non-surgical penile treatment. Fallowfill.com.
Turned On with Sue and John.
Your questions for Sue are always welcome. We thank you so much for those. Sue at sexwithsue.com. And you have a question from someone about how to get past an affair.
Yeah, that's tough. And, you know, there was a great study that was done in conjunction with Ashley Madison about, you know, why people choose to have affairs. And predominantly, they can say that they are, you know, 4.5 out of 5 in terms of their relationship, but they have no sexual satisfaction. And that is the number one reason that people are having affairs, that there's not a sexual satisfaction, that they really are just fantasizing about getting plowed or plowing, whatever the case may be. So it's realizing that that does that. What I do know is, oh God, I've had so many guys get, you know, blown for, not blown literally, but blown, and they're sort of found out that they had an affair because they've done something stupid. This is no longer lipstick on the collar or a matchbook in your pocket. This is more like, you know, their partner picks up their phone or their iPad and starts typing in their own email and hits a miss letter. And all of a sudden, you know, it populates with an anonymous email address. And then they start going searching, and sure enough, there it is. You know, and it's, I have had so many clients come to see me, and the injured party, it doesn't, you know, they used to say, well, if he had an affair or she had an affair, I'd be gone. The truth is that people don't, right? That it's, you know, it can survive an affair. But here's what you do. You have got to let that person be heard. They're hurt. They're really upset with you. You know, certainly one of the clinical techniques is, you know, and I try and limit it to either you do it in session or you do it a day. You say, okay, I'm going to give you 10 minutes a day. I'm starting the clock now. I want you to vent. I want you to yell and scream and cry and rant and do that. But as soon as the alarm goes, we are stopping because we have to get on with our day. And the more whatever you focus on gets bigger. So let's not focus on all of the pain you caused me. Let's focus on what does our life look like post-affair and how can we fix this? So, but being able to be heard, you know, a wounded spouse expressing their, you know, their hurt, their violation, their anger, that they will feel lighter and it can be moved on. I've seen it again and again and again, and people think, oh, I'll never get past it. And you may still have some trust issues and some baggage, but they become like sparrows rather than dinosaurs.
So there we are again, communication. I have a question though. Affair. Sure. Affair is a term we hear. Now, define for us the difference between, okay, so a guy cheats on his wife, picks up a girl for a night. They don't even know each other, whatever. It's a one-time thing. It's sex and no sex. Is that different? Is that still an affair, or is like going out to dinner and movies and romancing and sex, is that an affair, or are they both affairs?
Well, I think it depends on the couple. I have seen, there was one guy that I knew as a sex therapist, and he was talking and he told his wife that he wanted to do some work around, you know, what is open relationships, what is affair. He was a colleague of mine, and she didn't have problems with talking about the sex. She didn't have problems with flirting. She didn't have problems with any of that. What she had problems with was the lunches. You know, he would leave in the middle of the day and take her for lunch and have wine over lunch. She's like, when was the last time we went downtown, sat outside on a patio, and I dangled my high heel shoe off the tip of my toe and you bought me a glass of wine and we flirted with big eyes? And that was what she was pissed off about. And I thought rightly so. The reality is that it depends on what it looks like for a lot of couples. You know, you go on a business trip, don't come back with anything infectious. But, you know, fill your boots. You have a hall pass for that. You ask 100 different people, 100 different answers. I have couples who say porn is an affair, watching porn.
Yep.
I disagree with that.
I do too.
Personally and professionally. However, that's their model. I mean, you know, it's their relationship. And they are no longer watching porn. He's no longer watching porn because it's that offensive to his partner. So it depends on where you're at in that process.
Turned On with Sue and John. Available on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, and BlastTheRadio.com.
Oopsie, how unlike me. I skipped ahead a little bit. We missed number 3 when I billboarded this. Number 3 on the list was, why is he so focused on my orgasm? Hint, it's not for your pleasure. I skipped right past that. See, I wanted to save the best for the end. That's what it is. I'm all about the tease.
Ties it all together nicely. Right. Why is he focused on your orgasm? And, you know, anybody who's been with somebody who goes, did you come? Did you come? Did you come? You want to start throwing things. It's like, you know, you are going, it's none of your business. Piss off. But no, it's this idea, the minute that it feels like pressure, A, you don't want to do it, right? Sex is far more elusive than people think. And it's about, you know, it's adult play. But oftentimes, if somebody's so focused on your orgasm, they're insecure, they're anxious, they're needing reassurance, and that they're feeling, you know, that they are feeling unsure about sex, right? Sex fills a lot of men with more anxiety than pleasure. And it certainly happens with lesbian couples as well. If you can relax and be open about your desire and not worry about what your partner's doing. You know, this is different than what I was saying earlier in the podcast, which is I masturbate and there's a woman nearby you could get an inflatable sex doll or one of the vacuum sucks, right? Those German engineering, mm-hmm. there goes mm-hmm. my 99, right? Where it's just like, you know, it's this whole thing with all these different bells and whistles. Or you can, you know, in terms of being able to do that. But if the more anxious you are, the more concerned about, you know, your partner feeling like you're good in bed. And for a lot of people, they feel more masculine if their partners come, which is why 95% of women have faked an orgasm, because the guys are just like jerks about it. And I think it doesn't matter, just guys, it's in a sexual situation, if you're in an orgy, whatever. It's I would say that faking an orgasm slams the door on your own pleasure. However, it's understanding what you can and can't do in a scenario. And the more pressure you have, the more likely she really isn't going to come.
I love when you end the show on a high note. Our happy ending. It's not Florida man today. It's off to the other side of the USA. Hawaii man.
I sent this to you because it cracked me up, right? Mm-hmm. It was a clip about a man. It's in the Darwin Awards, right? And if you don't know the Darwin Awards, it's people who either kill themselves or take themselves out of the genetic pool by castrating themselves or something because they've done something incredibly stupid.
Yeah,
right?
not the smartest people on the planet. Yeah.
Yeah, it was survival of the fittest, right? The guy, yeah, who, you know, hold my beer, right?
Yes.
Yes. And they, you know, I end up, you know, so this case, this particular man got bobbited, you know, lost his penis because he was diving in Hawaii and saw a giant clam. And I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of a giant clam, but they look very vulva-like.
Well, that's exactly why some people refer to the vulva as the clam.
The clam. 100%. Yeah, they look very much like that. Uh-huh. Anyway, he, of course, got an erection, put it in, and the clam closed. Yes. And I don't think it was completely torn off, but he required surgery. And I know, right? How do you care this giant, like it's a giant clam. I don't know how you'd get up without drowning or it was crazy pictures. Anyway, there's a picture. But he has pulled himself out of the genetic pool. You have any bad Darwin Awards or Florida man stories? I just think they're hilarious. And it's just funny. And it appeals to my, you know, inane 13-year-old sense of humor.
Gosh, I love our conversations every single week. Turned On with Sue and John.
Thanks for tuning in and getting Turned On with Sue and John. New episodes every week. To get in touch, find us online at turnedonpodcast.com. Until next time, stay naughty.